Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer in for the vacationing Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Great to be back with everybody to kick off this week. And let me tell you, this is such a change from the radio I was just doing. We are in storm coverage in Buffalo, so my show in Buffalo was nothing but wind coverage. My power's out at my house. So very nice to be here, and we've got a packed show for you, a great show, including some end-of-the-year countdowns, rundowns on things. We'll be talking with that later in the 3 o'clock hour. You know, we get to this point now. This is this week. It's all lists, right? It's the top whatever of 2025. And I have to tell you, I'm a sucker for these lists. The thing that bothers me a lot about the list, though, is a lot of them come out at the end of November. You know, like I get my, hey, these are your top 10 songs you listened to on YouTube this month. And it's like, well, or this year. And it's like, well, I still have a month to go. And, you know, the way I listen to Christmas Time by the Backstreet Boys, that list could be altered before 2025 is done. But it also reminds you of just things that happen. And I don't know if you're like me. You'll hear this happened in February and you could have sworn it happened a year ago. And then there's some stuff that happened in January of this year. And you're like, oh, I could have sworn that happened a month ago. It's funny how fast some things seem to go. And then other things, it's like it took forever. Like yesterday, the Bills lost in the rain. Ugh. And I felt like I was in that stadium for 12 hours. Like we got home and I had left part of breakfast out because, you know, I forgot. And I turned to my wife and I said, I could have sworn that breakfast was 2 days ago. That's how long this game felt, just in the pouring, miserable rain. But then there's other times where it's like, is this day really over? I can't believe we're already at the end of the day. And you know, the year and events work out that way as well. And I'm happy to talk today with Charles Lipson. Curtis Houck will be joining us from MRC. He's going to talk about some of the year in fake news. He wants to talk about late night too. And you know how I love talking about how late night TV, I used to love late night TV. I mean, I'm old enough to where I used to record on VHS late night, like if Jim Norton was doing a stand-up set on Leno or Norm MacDonald was on Letterman, I would set the VCR to watch it on cassette tape the next day. And now, I mean, with my new schedule, I'm still usually up at 11:30. And let me tell you, I'm not flipping to the late night shows. So Curtis will talk to us about that. Brent Sadler from the Heritage Group will be talking about the Trump-Zelensky meeting, the Trump-Netanyahu meeting, as well as some other things. Frank Cusimano is going to be here and lots to get to. You know, I don't know if you all watch the Missouri Gator Bowl, but it just feels like Missouri could not get anything going. And, you know, as a Virginia Tech guy, I despise UVA. And so I was rooting for the Tigers in that game. And it just felt like they could not get their offense off the ground. I mean, it just, the game was very blah. And we'll get Frank's thoughts on that. We'll also talk about the bowl games, the college playoffs kicking back up on Wednesday. The Blues stay hot. They beat the Predators. They are playing the hottest team in the NHL tonight in the Buffalo Sabres here in St. Louis. I believe it's a 7 o'clock St. Louis time faceoff, and we'll talk to Frank about that. as well as Cardinals plans for first base. We started hitting on that on Friday, and we'll continue that conversation. Also, Brad Young will be joining us to talk about the hearing, the Tyler Robinson hearing. He's the alleged killer of Charlie Kirk. And I'll talk about that and also just media in the courtroom. Like, when I think of media in the courtroom, I think of, obviously, the OJ trial and, the spectacle that that was. Now, I'm a little young to remember everything, but, you know, the things I do remember and the things that I've heard, like my mom's office let out when they said there was a verdict and everyone went to my parents' house to watch the verdict live on TV.
Wow.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's media in the courtroom. And I don't know. Do you want that kind of media around this monster? I kind of just want the trial to be done and, him to have to pay the price for what he did. But we'll talk with Brad about that and so much more here as we're winding down the year. Today in Buffalo was my last Buffalo show in 2025. I will not be in tomorrow or Wednesday. I will be here, so let's not tell my bosses here in Buffalo that I'm still doing a show tomorrow. But it was my last show of 2025. And, just looking back on the year and, how my schedule has changed. I used to get up at 3:30, kind of like Sue. I would get up early in the morning, and now I get to sleep in. Sleep in as much as you can with a two-year-old. But I get to sleep in, and, I've got my own show now. I loved the years with my co-host, but now a new time slot, and just kind of the changes. You use this to reflect, to look back on the year. And for me, it's been a big step for my career. I did lose the Rising Star Award. So not winning that, as you can tell, has stuck with me. But beside that that little blemish, I think 2025 has been a great year. And as always, I love the opportunities to spend with you guys and talk about everything that is going on. So, it's been a good year. I'm happy to hopefully end this on a high note, the 2025 on a high note, and continue full speed ahead for 2000. And I almost said 2016, and sometimes I do still think it's 2015 for 2026. And what a year it can be, right? The beginning of the year, all this hope people have, they make their plans or they have their resolutions, as we talked about on Friday. And just a lot of hope at the beginning of the year. One thing I want to say before we break this segment, I'm a big Christmas guy. We talked about this before Thanksgiving when I was talking about, wanting Christmas music on starting November 1st, not Black Friday. And, I love the holidays. But is anyone else feeling, I can't wait to get my Christmas stuff down? And that's usually not me. Like, usually I want to, have it up for the first week or two of January. I want that tree down before Friday.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
I think ours is dead, so I think it's a fire hazard, and I may want it down, but I don't think yours is real, is it?
No, ours is, I'd love a real one, but my wife doesn't, and she bought it, so she gets the say.
Are you getting cold weather, like winter? Like,
yeah, are you in the middle of a blizzard?
We are in a windstorm. I have no power at my house right now. My wife is actually at her parents' house because we have no power.
Is there snow on the ground?
In the South Towns, there's about an inch of snow here in Amherst, but the wind is blowing it up, so there's little visibility.
Okay, gotcha. Wow. See, I feel like here at least the snow, the wintry conditions would make me want to stretch out the Christmas decor a little bit personally.
Yeah, I get that.
It was 70 degrees here, Joe, the day after Christmas. It felt, that to me, kind of, I even had feelings of, man, I had shorts on yesterday. I was rolling down the windows while I was driving. I'm like, man, it feels like spring. Baseball should be around the corner. I said that to my wife.
Yeah.
So that for me made me kind of want to almost push away some of the Christmas vibe, but I think we're going to have to keep it up even for a couple of weeks because my wife's parents are coming into town for MLK weekend, and that's when we're going to do our Christmas, and my wife's really been trying to talk me into keeping all of our decor up for that long. I'm like, ugh, it's a long time, but I think I'm going to have to cave.
I'm usually the guy that keeps it up. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Ethan. We had a green Christmas in Buffalo. We did all the snow melted on the 23rd because we had a heat wave. So we didn't have the snowy Christmas, and now we've got, like, this just disgusting icy mix outside. I don't know. And I loved Christmas. It was, you know, my son had such a great time. And, you know, I mean, he is still talking about wanting to call Santa. It's like, well, that's over, buddy. Not till next year. Like, it was a great Christmas. I'm just like, I'm ready for 2026. And, you know, I know we're months away, but I'm ready for warm weather. I love Christmas, but I'm kind of, it's over and I'm kind of over it, which is just completely opposite of how I've been the first 36 years of my life.
Dr. Thomas, do you have any thoughts on what exactly Joe Beamer could be experiencing right now?
I wonder if it's just sadness, rain, a Bills loss.
Mm. Oh.
And yeah. Then it's almost like it's too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the so what I'm hearing is if the Bills would have won yesterday, then maybe the Christmas spirit in Joe Beamer's heart is in a completely different place.
And it didn't rain, but it snowed.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the combination of rain and having an everlasting day just to have have you lose, it's really depressing.
There you go. There's
now,
the diagnosis.
There's the answer.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we started tailgating at 1 for a 4:25 game, and it rained the entire time. Oh,
no, it's just brutal.
Yeah. And, you know, Shakir was wide open in the end zone. But we're not going to talk
was.
To the fans about that.
He really was.
He was wide open. I love Josh Allen. I don't think Josh Allen can play in the rain. I think Josh Allen can't. I don't know. I just, my heart breaks. And I don't know if, like, Philadelphia flew half the city up here, but it was all Eagles fans in that building. And that just added to my anger. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And, you know, and it also established that this Sunday will be the final game at the stadium I grew up watching the Bills play in. Like, the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
This Sunday will be the last time I can walk through those doors, through that gate. And I've had seasons there for 15 years in the same seats. So, like, the final time, and it, without question, that will be the final game in that building. And, you know, it kind of all just hit me at once when that pass went incomplete yesterday.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing.
Man, I'm sorry to start the show like this, guys. We can only go up from here, right?
Amen.
To quote Shania Twain. when we come back, Charles Lipson will be joining us from the University of Chicago. Always great to check in with Charles, and we will talk with him after this break. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And we'll be connecting with Charles Lipson in just a few moments, talking about Ukraine and also the Middle East. As we heard on Friday, the president had a meeting with Vladimir Zelensky yesterday. Our friend Jeff Mordock was there. He was giving us the preview on Friday's show. And, you know, that's seemingly positive. Things were said afterwards. And then the president had a conversation on the phone with Vladimir Putin. And he's also today speaking with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister. And all that stuff we will obviously be getting updates on. And without further ado, let's welcome in Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago, Charles Lipson. You can also read him on The Spectator, Real Clear Politics, and others. Charles, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Joe.
So yesterday we had this this meeting with Zelensky and Trump. And Charles, you know, it seems like a kind of thing that we don't hear anything about for a few months. And then all of a sudden, both leaders are talking with the president. So where do we stand on this conflict?
My own sense is that it's a lot of sound and fury signifying very little. And the reason I think that is because I think that the minimal demands that Russia has are simply not acceptable for not only Zelensky, but nearly all Ukrainians. The Russians not only want to take the Donbass, they want to take over a series of fortified towns that, once taken, would give them entree to the rest of the country were the Russians to break the peace settlement, which they have done with every other peace settlement.
So what is this going to look like? I mean, is this going to be a conflict that continues to go on for years? What does the end, a realistic end to this, look like?
Well, it's almost impossible to say, but let me just say it's a war of attrition, and wars of attrition are won by the side that can stay in it the longest. Putin thinks he's actually winning. That's why he doesn't want to compromise. He also may not think he can survive, not just politically, but above the grass, if he gives into a compromise solution after having lost so many people and so much money in the fight for so little. So that's the real problem. I think that the problem in the West is that the Europeans in particular think that this wouldn't be the end of Putin or the Russians' effort to gobble up territory, which they might do in the Baltic states and so forth. So I think the most likely outcome is that the Europeans pay for American weapons. Let me say one more thing. I think that what Zelensky learned something from his meeting last February with President Trump, where they got into a public fight. He doesn't want to do that again. That's always a mistake. What he wants to do is make clear to the president, especially, and to his advisors, that the obstacle to peace is not Zelensky, it's Putin. And that's the only hope for keeping the Americans on the Ukrainian side.
You know, Charles, I'm not a big fan of whataboutism, but I do in this situation. Mm-hmm. If President Trump was not president and, say, mm-hmm. Kamala Harris had won or Joe Biden somehow was still president, what would be going on right now with this conflict, do you believe?
This is an odd one because the Democrats have actually been more in favor of arming Ukraine and supporting than at least the Trumpian wing of the Republican Party. The problem is that the wing of the party that is now more and more ascendant within the Democratic Party is the very far left, and they want to spend all their money on welfare.
Yeah, it's so interesting how many times Trump has talked to both Zelensky and Putin, mm-hmm. and you really weren't seeing that kind of approach from the last administration. I mean, it's as if
Last administration did, Joe, was they armed Ukraine, but they did it too slowly and always a day late and a dollar short. And the result is that they prolonged the war. Trump doesn't want to prolong the war, but in the end, he may face a choice between prolonging the war and losing the war on his watch.
Do you think would there ever have been a threat of American military involved in this war on the ground?
Not on the ground. The deals that have been floated for a peace treaty would involve European troops on the ground. These would be from NATO countries, but without Ukraine being part of NATO, and American air power. And of course, America is already providing a lot of satellite intelligence to the Ukrainians.
Now, Netanyahu was also meeting with the president today. And you know, that is a peace deal that we have still seen back and forth fighting. What is the, if any, the stability in the Middle East and with Israel as we speak?
The first thing to understand about Israel is that it is an incredibly dynamic, growing economy. The reason that and it is undefeated militarily. That doesn't mean that it has won all of its battles in the sense of being able to absolutely maintain control over some of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. But that's the reason that the Arab Muslim countries and some Muslim countries beyond the Arab world have made peace with Israel. The problem is nobody can figure out how to reconstruct Gaza as long as you still have Hamas there. And Israel, though it has taken out a lot of Hamas, Hamas seems to be able to continue recruiting. But that's not just a problem in Gaza. We can see that that's a problem in Nigeria and a lot of other countries where there are these extremist Islamist movements, and they're very hard to extinguish because they're not like an organized army in one location where you can beat them at the battle, at some big battle, and you've won the war.
Yeah, to that point, you know, these airstrikes that were carried out, you know, to take out certain members of ISIS, at the end of the day, what kind of damage does that do to these groups that, you know, want to continue the chaos in the Middle East?
Well, it limits their capacity to inflict damage on their opponents. It's hard to tell whether it increases or decreases their ability to recruit. It increases their profile, so some young kids want to join, but it also sort of indicates to them that you join, you die. So that's a big problem for them. But my sense, the Israelis always spoke of this as mowing the grass. And mowing the grass means that the grass always grows up again, but you don't let it overgrow the yard. The thing is that what happened in Gaza indicated to the Israelis that they had to do more than simply try to mow the grass. They had to actually try to root out Hamas. But the problem there is that who is going to establish a force on the ground to keep order? The Israelis don't want countries like Turkey in there because they think Turkey will side with Hamas.
Interesting, interesting. Professor, always great catching up with you. I hope you have a wonderful new year and look forward to talking with you in 2026.
Thank you, Joe. Have a happy new year, and to all your audience in St. Louis, the same to them.
Thank you. That is Professor Charles Lipson. He is Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. He writes regularly for the Spectator magazine, Real Clear Politics, and others. You can find his columns available for free at charleslipson.com. When we come back, Curtis Hoke is joining us. He's the managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center, looking back on fake news and more. After this.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back, Joe Beamer, in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And looking back on the year, well, that's still going for a few more days, but the year that was, Curtis Houck, managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Curtis, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Joe, good to be with you.
I want to start on something that I feel very, this is like something that is been with me for a while, and I talk about this probably once a week, and it's late night television. And you guys have kind of looked at the past year in late night. And Curtis, let me tell you, there was a time where I would record late night shows on VHS. I mean, I was a kid, but you know, if Jim Norton or Norm Macdonald was on Letterman or Leno, you know, I kind of enjoyed the show, and Letterman and Leno made fun of everyone. But it does seem like with today's late night television, it is this hatred. It's not even funny. It's just hatred that is spewed for an hour or two, depending on the network.
Yeah, and that's definitely what we've been calculating. I mean, folks may say, why do you guys crunch these numbers? Like, we already know this. Well, we want to put a number to these things so people, you know, can know that what they're feeling qualitatively is also true quantitatively. We found that in the last 6 months of 2025, 99% of late night guests were liberal. So this year, all told, there were 90 liberal Democrats, one conservative. That came back on Liberation Day when The Daily Show had on Orrin Cass of American Compass to defend the president's tariffs. And then when it came to the political jokes, this is really gets to your point. 92% of all political jokes on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Comedy Central late night shows in 2025 targeted conservatives. 92%. I mean, that's astounding. We understand that Republicans control the House, Senate, the presidency, conservative majority in the Supreme Court, but I mean, come on.
It's so disappointing because, you know, Curtis, I think most of us are fans of comedy. We like to laugh every now and then, but when it's so, it's so biased, and there's the only alternative is Gutfeld. I mean, it's not like it's just Kimmel or just Colbert. I mean, it's all three of them, and it's the same shtick. You think like Jimmy Fallon would say, hey, maybe I'll just try to make fun of everybody and rise above these two. But it seems like everyone just wants to not everyone, but a lot of people in late night television in the comedy world want to be a political activist, not actually a comedian.
Well, and I think Fallon was more or less bullied into it. He showed the lack of a backbone because he dealt with the fact that he had Trump on during the first election cycle and he rubbed his hair and all that. And he was nearly run out of town since our Alice Christie has been tracking late night guests late 2022, back into 2022 through now. So a couple years now, he has had 44 liberal Democrats on versus three conservatives. So now, I mean, that's still pretty bad. But again, it's not a big fat zero compared to some of the other ones. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely also nowhere near Seth Meyers. And his, in terms of political jokes, Fallon, 89% of his jokes were about conservatives. So again, when you're like 3 percentage points less bad than the other one, and you're still at a B+, you know, if you're grading that, still not great. Still not great.
No, yeah, and Seth Meyers, I mean, I kind of forget that show exists. I mean, he has just completely ruined the show that Letterman and Conan had built up. Yeah, and, you know, you say three conservatives, Curtis, but I'm not really sure I count the Gutfeld appearance as conservative because they never got into politics.
Right. Well, that's also a good point. Yeah, and we do kind of take a look at that in some of our guest counts. We also do that with The View, where if a celebrity comes on to promote a movie and then never do get into politics, we kind of have to make a judgment call at that point as well. But I would definitely say that overall, you know, think of winners and losers in 2025 in terms of the media. Late night comedy definitely has to be up there in terms of a loser because, I mean, one of the shows is going away,
yeah.
Colbert in May. One nearly did go away in Kimmel, and one already did go away in the After Midnight game show with Taylor Tomlinson, which they tried to do after James Corden, a liberal guy, basically said, I don't feel like doing this anymore. I'm going home to the UK. That show came and went this year.
Oh, I didn't even realize that show was off the air.
Exactly.
But you know what? I hold grudges, Curtis, because Taylor Tomlinson, she was doing a show in Buffalo and just no called, no showed my show. She was supposed to do an appearance the day of the show and didn't. And you know what? Good. I'm glad her show got canceled.
bye-bye.
Going on. you mentioned the UK with James Corden. This thing that Kimmel did last week, this appearance in UK, just bashing Trump. I mean, shouldn't Kimmel be thanking Trump? It actually gave Kimmel a second career because Kimmel was he was the guy from The Man Show that moved Nightline until Trump came along. And I mean, I would say his extension from ABC was to say, hey, look, we're not working with Trump. Kimmel should be thanking Trump.
Well, he went from, to your point, Joe, from one of the guys, so to speak, indistinguishable from Colbert and Myers, et cetera, to like public hero, martyr number one on the eyes of the left. You know, for the left, they have people like Jimmy Kimmel, who doesn't really do anything particularly brave, whereas on the right, we have people like Charlie Kirk that actually were murdered this year because they actually were in public espousing contrary political beliefs. You know, Kimmel is a very miserable person. His wife is the showrunner, and his wife openly bragged on a recent podcast about all the conservative family members that she cut out because she just doesn't feel like being around them anymore. And for Kimmel in the UK to receive the idea of being the alternative Christmas message to the king, which I guess is a thing that Channel 4 over there does every year, you try to think, I mean, this guy's been very rich because of this. He was thinking that the show would go away maybe after this year because his contract was up. He received, I believe, a 2-year extension. So he's going to continue to do his thing. The ratings have cratered back after the little general interest after his little timeout come back to Earth. So he can continue living off of this. He can continue writing fundraising emails for Adam Schiff, and Jackie Rosen, I believe, like he did last cycle, hosts fundraisers like the infamous Biden Obama Clooney confab, just live his life. You know, I mean, it's amazing how the left works. You know, you don't have to necessarily be good at anything to make a lot of money and be famous.
That is true. Now, you mentioned The View, but we got to give them their say. You know, Curtis, before you get into the rundown on The View, I want to say I don't trust anybody who has the opportunity to watch either The Price is Right or The View and picks The View. With that said, what did your findings show?
Well, just for the record, in college, my friends and I, no matter what you were doing in our house at Penn State, you had to come watch. Even if you had a test that day, you come watch Price is Right. But the good news is, first of all, they didn't have to issue a single legal note in 2025, which was good for them. In 2025, The View had 128 liberal guests versus 2 conservatives. And let me put an asterisk on that one because one of them was Cheryl Hines, the wife of HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and she was more or less defending her husband's policies and kind of saying that, well, there's a lot of people out there that support the president and the secretary's policies. You know, she's an avowed liberal, but she's the spouse, so she was kind of doing the spouse thing, and she was there to promote her memoir about her Hollywood career. But, you know, for the benefit of the doubt, we gave that in the conservative column. The other one, which is far less, a little bit more debatable, is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who went on to attack the president. So coming up after the break, after the New Year break, she's going to be on The View again for her first media appearance, I believe, after she quits Congress. How about that?
Wow, wow! It's funny how she's changed so quickly. Now, I did see that I believe Savannah Chrisley of Chrisley Knows Best, who is a Trump supporter, will be a guest host on The View in February. That should be. I might actually have to DVR it because I'm still picking The Price is Right, but I might have to DVR it. That might actually be interesting for once.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who knows? Maybe it might work out where that's way more interesting, and then you get like a double over on the Showcase Showdown that day on Price is Right. Who knows?
It's so funny because I go back. There's this clip of Norm Macdonald on The View from like the 2000s when George Bush was running against Al Gore, and he mentioned liking George Bush, and like the crowd actually cheered. And it's like that is you would never get that reaction from a View crowd in 2025. It's just so funny how radical that show's gone in a little over two decades.
It's so far gone at this point. I mean, it's deranged. It's very sad, actually, to think that people live such a way that politics like define who they are. Like it's the be all end all of their happiness. Like I'll just on the way back here, I'm in the Lowcountry with my in-laws. And there's a weekly No Kings, a Moron Mondays gathering. And I played a YMCA as I went by them. It was very nice. I think about that. I'm like, to like define your happiness based on who's the president. I don't like that. I mean, it's something that's really sick in our culture at this point. And I would say people on both sides have this issue, but predominantly on the left, because far fewer of them actually believe that we're alone in this universe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many on the left that, I mean, if they know you don't think like them, they are, as soon as they get into the same space as you, they are waiting to bring it up. They don't care if it's Thanksgiving, if it's Christmas, if it's, you know, the first baptism. They don't care. They're going to bring it up as soon as they can. It's as if Trump just controls their thought process 24/7, 365.
Moral enemy. You're a mortal enemy. You know, I mean, you're not just morally wrong. You're just, I don't even know. You're beyond the pale. You don't belong in a polite society. I mean, that's why they've worked so hard for so many years and failed to censor us on big tech platforms, because they recognize that that is the public square, because like it or not, we don't gather in person like we used to now. So to limit your reach, you get attacked on the social media platform. So thank goodness for Elon Musk. And yes. But the rest of us can continue to have hobbies and talk to each other. And I don't know.
One final thing on The View, and I'm sorry that we're spending so much time on The View, Curtis, but, you know, because it's mentioned here from the MRC president that, you know, The View, it's considered a part of ABC News. And I'm not sure people realize that. Like, it's actually part of the ABC News division, which if that doesn't tell you if George Stephanopoulos didn't tell you everything, that should be the tell-all right there.
Right, and they say all kinds of things without evidence. I mean, The View has said this year on repeated occasions that Trump is using deployments of the National Guard to cities across the United States as a sort of dry run to cancel the 2026 midterms. I mean, there's literally no evidence to that whatsoever. And I've been told by all these people during the 60 Minutes hubbub with CBS that there's all kinds of lawyers and their standard and practices divisions that go through all kinds of things. And if The View, an ABC News product, is espousing all kinds of nonsense, think they may have some explaining to do one day. But, I mean, that's definitely fodder for us. It's like Morning Joe. We wish we didn't have to watch it. But A, we do because someone has to, and B, because the people demand it.
And, you know, one last thing from 2025, Curtis, MSNBC got a name change and a makeover. They are no longer, as The View is a part of ABC News, MSNBC now, MS Now, is no longer a part of NBC News.
MS Space Now. Yeah, I mean, apparently they wanted to stay MSNBC and just drop the peacock part of the logo, and Comcast was like, no. We don't want anybody to be confused, to think we're still related. And other than Willie Geist, I believe, because he's special, gets to co-host babysit Joe and Meek on Morning Joe and then do Sunday Today. Everyone else had to go one way or the other in the divorce. Steve Kornacki went to NBC News. So the one good thing about watching MSNBC, sans meltdowns on election nights, will now be on NBC. So next year for the midterms, if you want to watch Kornacki do his thing, get all nerdy at the big board, you got to go over to Lester Holt and Savannah Guthrie.
Well,
now
hey,
there's zero reason to watch MS Now unless things are going very well for us.
The meltdowns. There is still the meltdowns, which I will always cherish. Hey, Curtis, always great talking with you. I hope you have a very happy new year and look forward to talking with you in 2026.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Joe. And thanks to everybody here at the station here. You guys are just such a big help to us.
That is Curtis Houck. He is the managing editor of Newsbusters and Media Research Center, wrapping up 2025. Did you remember all of that stuff? Are you now convinced about The View? Are you now convinced with Late Night? I know it's something I stress on all the time, but it is just so sad how far it has fallen. I mean, I'm as someone who loves comedy, I mean, there's like stand-up shows I can't go to now because I don't care if you make fun of Trump. I find some of the stuff funny, but when it's your whole act, when it's every joke, it's just like, come on. I mean, you're a show on a network. You're a show on a network that's for half the nation, and it's literally blocking out the other half of the nation. But with that, we'll be back. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1. Wrapping up the first hour, Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And that was actually a true story. I didn't make that up. Taylor Tomlinson, this is before she had her, I guess it ended up being a three-month show on CBS. She was doing a show in Buffalo. And this is when I was doing the morning 9 a.m. show with my co-host. And she was supposed to come on and you know, promote the show. And I, like I said, as long as your act isn't just an hour of political jokes, like, you know, bashing Trump for an hour. I love stand-up comedy. And so we were going to have her in studio, and she just didn't show up. And I don't mean like, hey, sorry, something came up. We had the sports guy, the guy that played the sports guy in Anchorman was supposed to come on the show. He actually let us know. It was 4 a.m. that he let us know, but let us know he was not going to be able to make the show. Taylor Tomlinson never said that she wasn't going to make it, never said why, just kind of left us out hanging. And so, you know what? Maybe I hold a grudge. I don't know. But good for her. Good for her. The CBS thing didn't work out. She's got to go back to doing stand-up now. I'll tell you what. I don't know. I don't think I give her a second chance. Is that a little harsh? Am I being a little too harsh on the young lady?
I see why you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, still up and coming. I wanted to have the big name. Which, you know, I mean, not that Taylor Tomlinson's a huge name, but you get the point. Have a national person on the show.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I mean, no call, no show. Mm. Yeah, come on. I thought you wanted to sell tickets. But Curtis broke news there. Her show's already off. And for the first time since 1993, I think I got, or 92, CBS will be giving the 11:35 time slot back to the affiliates. And we'll be out of the late night game, which, you know, I don't remember pre-1992. So I don't remember CBS not being in the late night game. But I said it when they gave that show to Stephen Colbert and not Craig Ferguson. I said the Colbert thing's just not going to work out. It's you know, his character was funny on Comedy Central. It's he is not a funny person. And he's not. He's a political activist trying to be a comedy role. And the late show that David Letterman built up to beat the Tonight Show will be gone in May. And, you know, it's the lack of funny that they have to blame over there at CBS. It's what it is. You know, at least CBS has the NFL. That's what I can say for them. But, I don't know. Craig Ferguson was so funny on that 12:35 show when he took it over. I thought it was just a natural progression. And then to get Stephen Colbert, just – it never made any sense to me. And hey, that show is on the way out. You only got a few more months to see the meltdown on CBS. And then it's down to two. It's down to Fallon, Kimmel. I guess you can throw Seth Meyers in there, but I'm not sure too many people even know that Seth Meyers is on.
Right.
When we come back, we'll have Sue's News. We'll be joined by Brent Sadler. We'll be joined by Frank Cusimano. And later, our friend Brad Young will be joining us. All that and much, much more. 1 hour down, two to go. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.